We invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. We'll begin reading with verse number 7, but our lesson title is in verse number 11, God Shall Send. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That's 2,000 years ago when the apostle wrote that letter to the Thessalonians. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. It was working behind the scenes. Satan was trying to get the upper hand on the things of the Lord. Only he who now letteth, that is, hindereth or restraineth, will restrain until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send. There's our lesson title. God shall send them strong delusion. The word strong there is the same word translated effectual working in Ephesians 4:16. For God shall send them an effectual working delusion. And that word delusion is the same word deceit in 1 Thessalonians 2:3 and error in James chapter 5 and verse 20. So God shall send an effectual working of deceit and error. Can you imagine that? God shall send. Not talking about the devil. Talking about God doing this. You need to listen to this. For this cause, God shall send them effectual working of deceit, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned. You understand this is God doing this. He sends a delusion causing them to believe a lie, and it's effectual. It will work. It won't miss. It will do what God intends it to, and it's God that raises up this delusion, this lie that they're going to believe, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And that's where I used to stop, and it used to really get to the people of God. But I want to read the next two verses so those of you that are genuinely saved will have some encouragement. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I read those next two verses to comfort those of you after you hear these verses that just, you can't get by it. You have to understand God's going to do this. It is going to work. It's an effectual working of deceit. And God's going to damn them and that did not believe, did not receive the love of the truth. That's what he said. I want you to know something. There is no creature, angel, demon, human being, Bambi or Thumper or whoever, that's out from under the absolute sovereign control of Almighty God. And I want to make a statement. I've made it many times before, and I want you to hear it again. The devil is God's servant. Now, all creatures are God's servants, but not all creatures are God's sons. When I say they're the servant of the Lord, I'm not talking about like Isaiah or like John or like James. I'm talking about they are creatures, they are beings that are under the control of Almighty God. In the book of Job, chapter number 1, verse number 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God, talking about the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? In other words, give an account of yourself. For God to ask Satan, where have you been, where are you coming from, shows you that God is in absolute sovereign control, even of the devil. And God gives the devil a command. The devil wants to get at Job. But in verse 12 of Job chapter 1, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And dear soul, that's exactly what he did in this first encounter. In the second encounter, he lets him put his hand upon Job's on his human flesh, and lets him smite him with boils and so forth, all these unpleasantness in the flesh. But the point is that the devil couldn't do anything except he was allowed to by God. I want you to understand that all creatures are God's servant. In John chapter 6 and verse number 70, you have an amazing statement by the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6 and verse number 70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? When I chose the 12 disciples to follow me, I chose one on purpose that was Judas, and he's a devil. So the Lord Jesus Christ shows you that all men are God's servants. All creatures are God's servants. The devil is God's servant. He doesn't have the ability to do what he wants to. I know that the organized religion has taught us from way back that there are two forces in the world. One of them's the devil and one of them's the Lord. And it depends on us as to how we go with one or the other. That's a lie. There is nobody equal to God. All creatures are under God's authority. God is the only uncreated being. All the rest of us are created, and therefore he is in sovereign control of all things. So you say, well, why did God create the devil? Well, there again, you got to understand some things. God didn't create the devil. God didn't create sin. God's not the author of sin. God created an angel who became the devil. And if you'll read in the book of Isaiah, you'll find out what he said. I will be like the Most High. And when he did that, the lights went out, and that great angel became the devil. And Jesus said, I got need for him. I got use for him. I'm going to choose 12 men to follow me and be my disciples, but one of them I'm going to choose is Judas. Now, let me say this, and I want you to listen to me. Judas was essential to the bringing forth of our salvation. You got a driver's license in your billfold, and on that driver's license is a picture of you, picture ID. They didn't have that back in that day. They needed somebody to be able to identify who this Jesus of Nazareth was so that they could bring him forth and crucify him. Enter Judas. You say, well, if Judas was ordained to do that, how can God punish him for doing what God ordained him to do? Good question. Glad you asked such good questions. And the answer is, Judas did not deny Christ for the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. The reason God can punish Judas for doing that which was essential for Judas to do in order that God may bring forth the salvation of his elect is because Judas did it for the money. He didn't do it for the glory of God. He did it for a wicked intent. And I want you to know, there is nothing good about the devil at all. When I say he is God's servant, I'm not talking about him having one iota of goodness in him. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I believe it is, He said, that ain't what I want. It's John chapter 8. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. John chapter 10 and verse number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So in John 10:10, he sets forth the two entities, the two opposite extremes, the two who are diametrically opposed one to another. You can't expect the devil to do anything but kill, steal, and destroy. We heard the horrible stories coming out of the East, how these people from Hamas cut off their parents' heads in front of the children. I wished I hadn't seen it. They showed a picture of an infant riddled with bullets. Lord have mercy. They burned young people alive, bound them together like you'd bound firewood, and set them on fire and burned them to death. That's the devil, friend. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. What have we got to oppose that and to help us in that? I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Dear soul, the solution to the powers of the devil and the lies and the killing and the bloodlust that he has is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate ambassadors and folks that want to help and countries standing together with them. But dear soul, the key to this whole thing is if you want to be able to overcome the devil, you have to come to Christ. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. Two opposites. So we see that Jesus Christ is in sovereign, absolute control of everything, even choosing Judas in order to bring forth the purposes and the will of Almighty God. Look at Isaiah chapter 25. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 25. If I can get back there, there it is. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse number 9. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is God, we have waited. Is that what I want? That ain't what I want. Let's go to Isaiah 27 in verse number 6. If this is, I hope I ain't messing myself up. I'm trying to find, and I think it might be Jeremiah 25. Let's see if it is. Jeremiah 25 and verse number 9. Yes. Wrong book. Right verse. Jeremiah 25 and verse number 9. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. He's talking about an ungodly king, a heathen king, a man that's not brought up under the law, the man that does not know the words of the prophets. And it's just right here in God's word in Jeremiah 25:9. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. You see that? Now go to 27 in verse number 6. Jeremiah 27 in verse number 6. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And in verse 1 of chapter 45, Jeremiah 45, and verse number 1. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spake unto Baruch the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah, the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. And he goes on to tell what he's going to do. Chapter 45, verse 4. For thus shalt thou say unto him, the Lord saith thus, behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up. And he goes on to talk about how Jeremiah that Nebuchadnezzar is his servant. That's the way that it is listed here in God's word. So constantly is talked about how Nebuchadnezzar is God's servant. Also, we find, dear soul, that Cyrus was said to be the servant of Almighty God. That God said, Cyrus, my servant, though thou hast not known me. So these heathen kings who were opposed to Israel and who brought them into captivity, God calls them very clearly and very plainly, my servant. So I want you to understand, your God is greater than the harlot church has ever allowed you to know. They have pitted Satan against Christ and said, the one that wins is the one that you agree with. That's a lie of the devil. You don't have anything to do with it. God's in absolute sovereign control of everybody and everything. The devil was a created being, an angel. He became the devil when he determined that he would be like the Most High. And because of his beauty, he was corrupted. That's what the book says. So we understand and see, dear soul, that all creatures are God's servant. Isaiah 45, verse 1, that's what I should have been reading a minute ago. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Verse number 4, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. That's Isaiah 45, verse 1 and verse 4. Cyrus didn't know the Lord, but God called him his anointed. And he says, I am the Lord, in verse 5 of Isaiah 45. There is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee again, though thou hast not known me. So Cyrus, the king, was said to be God's servant, but that it clearly tells you twice in those verses, though thou hast not known me. Proverbs chapter 16. The book of Proverbs, chapter 16, and verse number 4. A very, very informative verse. It is amazing to read this verse. Proverbs 16, 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, even the wicked for the day of evil. Dear soul, you got to understand that the devil is God's servant. There's no demon, there's no angel, there's no human being, there's no wicked human being or righteous human being that is out from under the absolute control of Almighty God. So we understand and see, dear soul, that God would have need of Judas. Have not I chosen you, and one of you is a devil? Why did he choose him? Because he had need not only of a Peter to deny him, but of a Judas to betray him. And he brought these together to show you the mind and purposes of God, and he was in absolute sovereign control in everything. And by the way, Jesus clearly taught us, no man taketh my life. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. This command have I received of my Father. So we understand and see that Jesus was in sovereign control of everything, but he uses the second causes, these means, these individuals, to bring about that which he has already purposed. And again, you say, well, if God had already purposed that Judas betray Christ, how can God punish him? Because Judas didn't do it for the glory of God, Judas did it for the love of money, which is the root of all evil. So that everything that every creature does, whether it be good or good for nothing, it will glorify and magnify the Lord. God doesn't have to run around and say, oh, look, he did something bad, I better go fix that right quick. No, they did something bad because God stepped away from them and left them to their self, and they did what they wanted to, and now God can judge them for that. Your soul, you need to go back and study that verse and say where God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are high above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways above your ways. You can't think like this. And that's the reason people have messed up the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand and see that they cannot know and perceive the mind of God, and they've invented things to justify God. And God don't need justifying. It's us that need justifying. And so we come up with for instance, the age of accountability. Everybody under 12 years old that dies, they go to heaven because they're innocent. Well, the Bible's got some problems with that. It said, I came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. The Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then people say, well, preacher, if you believe that, you're going to be sending babies to hell. No. See, there you go. Wrong thoughts coming up with ungodly stuff. So you have to come up with stuff to pad God to make this thing work out. Dear soul, what happened to all the babies that died in Noah's flood? What happened to the babies that the Roman soldiers killed and murdered 2 years old and under when Jesus was born because Herod sent them to do it? We believe, and it's because of the word of God, Jesus said, suffer the little children, permit the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Their spirits do always behold the face of my Father. And on the basis of those things, we understand and see that those human beings who died in infancy were the elect of God. But we don't believe in the election. We can't stand election. That goes against free will. Dear soul, Adam had free will. How'd that work out? Put us all into sin. So we understand and see these things are above they're above the ability for the religious mind to comprehend and see. So we go about trying to establish things that don't exist. There's no such thing as the age of accountability. Find it. Show it to me. It's not in your Bible. So you have to understand and see that you don't understand and comprehend the thoughts and ways and beings, means of God. Because we don't, we have to pad things and say, well, then this must be so. And we make up something and then we put that in our churches and then everybody starts to believe it because it makes them feel good. But I want you to see this verse that I'm looking at in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 11. God shall send strong delusion, effectual workings of deceit. You can't get away from that. God shall do it. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 4. God has even created the wicked for the day of evil. Romans chapter 9. The book of Romans chapter 9 and verse number 21. The Apostle Paul is writing in his letter to the Romans, and he asked this question in Romans 9 and verse number 21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump? For the same lump of clay, he makes one vessel to honor and another to dishonor. He used that lump of clay and he's got so much, he said, well, I'm going to make a flower vase out of this and put it up on your mantle and put your flowers in. But this other one is a spittoon. For those with a filthy habit of chewing tobacco, they can spit in this one. But it's the same lump that he made the vase out of. Hath not the potter the power to make a vessel of honor and one to dishonor? All right, that's the truth. All right, next verse. Romans 9:21. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? He's going to put up with them with long suffering and show his power of patience, willing to show his wrath, willing to make his power known, his power of endurance. With much long suffering, put up with the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. He made them for that purpose. You got to understand, dear soul, that God is a whole lot bigger than your carnal religion. We have been brainwashed and we have been put through the meals of carnal religion, and best we get out of it is some kind of degree of morality. But it's legalistic morality. God didn't say do this and you'll go to heaven, or don't do that and you'll go to heaven. But if you do that, you'll go to heaven. Listen, the one thing that everybody that goes to heaven got there with is belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, not do's and don'ts. For no man is justified by the law. Well, I've done good, and I know that God's going to see how much good I did, and he's going to give me credit for doing that good, and he won't send me to hell because I've done more good than I've done evil. That is demonic. It's not based upon whether you did good or you did bad. It's based upon whether you did believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then the last verse of chapter 3 of John, it tells us, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So we have been taken away from facing God as God and making a little religious God out of him and saying, well, that lady's baby died when she was only, you know, a few months old, and I'm going to tell her that that baby's in heaven because she's under the age of accountability. Show it to me. That baby's in heaven because those that die in infancy are the elect of God. Their spirits do always behold the face of my Father. Jesus said that. But no, we got to come up with some cockamamie junk because we are of the illicit morality religion instead of righteousness appropriated by faith. Righteousness includes Jesus Christ in with you before the Father. He, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You've got to understand and see that my sin had to be appropriated to Christ in order for his righteousness to be appropriated to me. Well, you believe that? Sure I do. Yeah, but how can you prove it? Faith, and there you go. You would rather have some rules and regulations that you have on the low ground of religious morality so that it makes you feel comfortable, but be careful that you're not feeling comfortable on your way to hell, rather than having to live by faith and please and honor God by your faith in him. Dear soul, if you do not have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abideth on you. So you come to God in righteousness, which requires you to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody that is in heaven has one thing in common. I don't care if they were born 2,000 years ago in some eastern country or they were born today in the United States. Whether if they are in eternity in God's glory, they got one thing in common. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's their salvation, and that's why God brought them into his glory. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. Make it 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. In verse number 7. 1 Peter 2:7. Unto you, Therefore, which believe, he, Christ, is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, he's the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Verse number 8. And Jesus Christ, to them that don't believe, is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at his word, being disobedient. Watch it now. Whereunto also they were appointed. Peter said, if they don't believe, that's because they were appointed to that. Again, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 4, God even has made the wicked for the day of evil. What if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Romans 9:22. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 3. And through covetousness shall they with molded, cunningly false words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Dear soul, I want you to understand this. Man is not in control of his salvation. God is. If a man is going into the presence of God's glory and going into what we call heaven, that is his reward because of his righteousness in Christ, Jesus paid it all. The man didn't do anything but receive what God did. But we have taken God down off the throne, put man on the throne, and we sing 47 verses of Just As I Am to try to get him to come down to something we call an altar, but our altar is Christ. You shouldn't invite a man to come to furniture in your designated building with a steeple on top and tell him he'll be saved. You should invite him to come to Christ. And the Spirit of God will bring him to Christ. And the wind blows where it wills. You cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You can't see it. Dear soul, you have to live this by faith. But we want to see something. Everybody that wants to be prayed for, raise your hand. Everybody that raised your hand, come down to the front. Everybody that come down to the front, sign these cards and be ready to be baptized and join our church. And by the way, here's your tithe envelopes. It's just commercialism, dear soul. It's nothing but morality. And dear soul, there's four souls, and three of the four don't produce good fruit. Only one did. So not that it's a formula, but one out of four of the souls that professed Christ didn't make it through to the end. It was harlot religion that brought them into that. And I know how that is because I joined the church and was baptized 7 years before I was born again. The Baptist got a hold of me 7 years before God did. And I was a miserable creature. I wasn't changed. I wasn't any different. There was no righteousness about me. And I couldn't even be moral. But God saved me by his grace. And I'm glad God did me that way and God had me done that way so that I can warn you about these things and tell you, dear soul, that you need to be careful and understand. God shall send them effectual working of deceit that they might believe the lie and be damned. That's God. Now, if that don't fit in your little concept of God down yonder at your local church, you need to either get out of that church or go find God or both. You need to make sure that you don't deceive your soul by Mr. Feel Good. Well, I'll just feel better now. I was baptized. Well, all you did was go down to dry center and come up a wet center. That's all that happened to me. But dear soul, when I was faced with the absolute sovereignty of God and that he could do what he wills with his own, it put a fear into me. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And in that fear, I cried out to God, have mercy upon me. I've lied on you. I've said I was in Christ, but I'm not. I'm without God and without hope in this world. And God in his mercy saved me. Thank the Lord for that. God is so good to us. Now, in John 14, in verse number 6, Jesus tells the disciples, he says to Philip, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That was said to Thomas, not to Philip, excuse me. He said to Thomas, I am the way, I am the truth. All right, go back a few verses, excuse me, a few pages to John chapter 8 and verse number 44 and see what the Lord Jesus says. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Wait a minute. Jesus said, I am the truth, but Satan abode not in the truth. What are you saying to us, preacher? I'm telling you that Satan and Christ are diametrically opposed one to the other. But I want you to know that the devil is God's devil. The devil is God's servant. Judas did not love Christ. He loved the bag that he carried the money in. He was the treasurer among the disciples. And the love of money is the root of all evil. But Jesus had need of him. So have not I chose you, 12, including Judas, and one of you is a devil. I knew it from the beginning, but I had need of him. Dear soul, I want you to understand something. God shall send a strong delusion upon this world, if he hadn't already, and so that they might believe a lie and be damned who receive not the love of the truth. For this cause, for them not receiving the love of the truth. Well, we know the truth. We quote the Bible all the time. Yeah, but knowledge puffeth up, and God hates a proud look. Does it make you feel proud? And do you lord it over other people who don't know doctrines like you know them? That ain't God. Dear soul, there's an humble spirit about the Lord Jesus Christ. I am meek and lowly. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of my meekness and lowliness, and you shall find rest to your souls. The devil was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Not a shred of truth in the devil. Not a semblance of truth whatsoever in him. Listen, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He had to make it up. It had to come from him. The truth comes from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The lie comes from the devil. But I want you to know that even though these two are diametrically opposed one to another, the devil is God's servant, and God will use the devil for those who do not believe or receive the love of the truth. Because they receive not the love of the truth, God shall send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie and be damned. Oh, my soul, are you caught up in religion today? Does it give you a warm, fuzzy feeling when you go to church and you are able to sing those songs and blend your voice with everybody else, but then you don't have any love for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Dear soul, you need to be careful. Do you know that the devil is called the angel of light? He is the one that brings the emotions into the harlot church system. Dear soul, being on a bench in a local church and having that warm, fuzzy feeling, when old Lady Long Tongue hits that high note, "Injust as I am," and it sends chills up and down your spine, you say, "I must be saved." You must be being deceived by the devil. Dear soul, the truth and that which will show that you know the Lord is your love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God, because they receive not the love of the truth. For this cause God shall send strong. God is in opposition and is opposed to harlot religion. Well, we live in the Bible Belt. Well, dear soul, you better do better than that. You better be living in the Jesus cloak. God cloaks you with the righteousness of Christ, and you have an awareness of your sinfulness, and you have a humility and a contrite spirit that confesses your sinfulness before God, and you weep over your sin, and you cry out to God, and you don't just go around with a picture and statue of Jesus hanging on a cross, a dead man on a cross. Every time you think about the cross, it breaks your heart in knowing that it was your sin that put him on there. It was my sin that drove those nails into his flesh. It was my sin that separated him from his Father. It was your sin that caused him to cry out, my God, why aren't you weeping over that?" "Well, I'm saved." "Really? You sure? Are you sure? Do you really know the Lord? Do you have a desire for his glory?" Listen, because they receive not the love of the truth. It doesn't say because they receive not the truth. The Pharisees knew the truth. They studied the scriptures all their life. And they turned around and denied God in the flesh and killed their God that the scriptures had been telling them for 4,000 years was coming. But when they saw him, they didn't believe him because all they had was a form of godliness and denied the power thereof. Be careful, dear church member. Be careful. God is going to be against all those that do not receive the love of the truth, and God is going to send strong delusion that they might believe a lie and be damned. Isaiah 45, the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 5, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me." We read that about Cyrus. Listen. "That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else." Now listen. "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." Brother Gene, I thought you said God didn't create evil. I did. Well, you just read that he did. Well, if you'll read this in the languages that express this in, it said, "I make peace and create calamity." And it's not that God created sin, but he allowed calamity and things that the devil does to come into your life for his own good purposes. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. I hope we got time to read this. Yes, we do. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 19. "And he said, Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him, and on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?" God ordained that Ahab be killed at Ramoth-Gilead. But he's asking the spirits that stood before the Lord, as we read you in Job chapter 1, who will go up and persuade Ahab. I'm sorry. And one said, I'm going to do this. Another said, I will persuade him like that. And God said, well, wherewith shall you persuade him? And he said, this is 1 Kings 22 and verse number 22. I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Isn't that something? And he said, God said to the spirit, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Dear soul, here is a passage in your scriptures telling you that in order for God to bring about the death of Ahab, he calls all the spirits before him, as in Job chapter 1 and 2. And he said, who will go and persuade Ahab to go up to Ramoth Gilead that he may die? One said, well, I'm going to do this. God said, no, that wouldn't work. Another said, I'm going to do that. And God said, no, that won't work. Another said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, what is it? I'll put a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. Uh-oh. Dear soul, do you fully believe that because a man has said, I went to Bible school, now I'm going to be a pastor, that he is actually a man of God? How does he have that spirit to be able to persuade all those people that come unto him as his members? Do you not understand that the spirit of life, excuse me, the angel of light, has the ability to put a lying spirit in those mouths of those men that are not even saved, much less are called of God, and persuade people to do that which God would have, for God shall send a strong delusion unto them that receive not the love of the truth. God shall send a strong delusion, effectual working of deceit, that they might be damned who believe not, who receive not the love of the truth. You need to be careful, dear soul. If there's one thing that I know about this day and age, is that a blanket of deceit and lying lays upon our nation. People are lying to our faces in Congress. People are lying to our faces in churches. People are lying to our faces in our families, in our communities, and on our jobs. And we just say, okay. How do you combat lies? The devil is the father of the lie. And if he tells a lie, it comes from him. How do you defeat the devil? How did Jesus defeat him in his temptation? He quoted the scriptures. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The thing that you need to do, dear religionist, is quit trying to say that the Bible is the Word of God only, and say that Jesus Christ is the Word of God completely and entirely. Yes, I believe that the Bible does not just contain the Word of God. I believe it is the Word of God. But, dear soul, it is the written record book about the person of the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's the Word, the person of Christ, that will save you, not memorization of verses. Let me tell you what's going to happen as we close. Revelation chapter number 20. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 20. And verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Verse number 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Listen, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 41, if I can find it real quick, the book of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, He says, "Then shall ye, he say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." Watch it. "Prepared for the devil and his angels." If you go to hell, you go as an intruder. It's a place that's been prepared for the devil and his angels. They are going to torment you forever and ever. What is the thing that will keep me from that? The love of the truth. Dear soul, you need to embrace Christ as the person of the Word and not just a memorized text in your Bible, in your written record book. "God shall send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie and be damned that receive not the love of the truth." God have mercy. I thank the Lord for the privilege that we have had to be with you today. I hope this sobering message will lay strongly upon your heart, and God will help you see like I saw. And it was embarrassing to have to go before the church and say, "I know you baptized me, but I went down a dry center and came up a wet center. I know that you marked me down and said, we had another one saved over here, and you're going to have to race that out. And I know that's going to embarrass you that you thought I was saved and I wasn't." But dear soul, had you rather be embarrassed before men or embarrassed before God and the holy angels? If you deny me before men, Jesus said, "I will deny you before my Father and all the holy angels." May God help us. And I want you to understand and see one thing. God shall send. This ain't between you and the preacher. This ain't between you and religion. This between you and God. God shall send them strong delusion. May God have mercy upon us. I pray for your soul. I trust you will also pray. May God help.